And the very first mimer in the entire sefer is called Kochos Hayididus Vazaris Ba'olam. What does it mean Yedidus, and what does it mean Zaris? And what does it mean to be beloved and to be connected, and what does it mean to be disconnected and to be an outsider, to be not connected? Now, these pieces were from the 1950s. Okay? And of all the pieces that I've seen so far, this is the one that I think gives us the broadest perspective. It shows you what a worldly person Ravolbi was. It shows you how he understood the concept of Hashem Echad. And I think it's a very important piece when it comes to tshuva. Because sometimes people think that tshuva, being from, means hating others. And tshuva means that I have to hate the world, and I have to hate everything that Hashem created, other than the base medrash. If I want to conquer my Yitzhara, if I want to be a firm Jew, I have to hate Gentiles, and I have to hate things of the world. I have to only love from Orthodox Jews, who are exactly my style of Orthodox, of course. And Ravolbi says it's completely not true. A person who understands the oneness of the universe understands that you don't have to run away from everything, you don't have to despise everything in order to be connected to Hashem. Lahafech, you have to have a chrayas for everything. And you have to try to see the good in everything. And this piece is mamish, I think, very, very much in line with the thinking of Pnimiyas HaTorah and Chassidus. Those were here a couple years ago when we learned the Lubavitcher Rebbe's in Yana Shel Torah HaChassidus. So the Rebbe spoke at length about the oneness of everything, and we spoke a lot about it at that time. We went to Sichas Haran a couple years ago. We spoke about a piece that I want to review today. Okay, but let's begin with the words of Ravolbi. Again, I'm sorry I can't project much louder than this. Habriya kula mu'chedes u'medubekes. The whole world has a oneness and is interwoven, is connected. Fekus, right? Davuk. Everything in the world is connected to everything else in the world. It's interesting, as science, as scientific knowledge expands, we start to recognize this more and more. That parts of the universe that we thought had nothing to do with each other are in fact interacting with one another. Ki alo av echad l'kulanu. Says Ravolbi, because we all have one father. Everyone comes from the same Ribbono Shel Olam. B'chol nivraim krovim zeh lazeh. And even though it says in Tehillim, Yisrael am krovo, Halleluka, that the Jewish people are especially close to Hashem. Banim atem l'Hashem lokeichem. We are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the truth is, every person in the world, and not only people to people, but people to animals, people to things, you and every blade of grass, and parts of the world you'll never visit, are connected. Mishpacha achas gedoyla. It's one big, I was going to say happy family, it's not always so happy, but it's one big family. Lanu b'nei adam kirva el hadomim. Man has a connection to domim, to inanimate objects, to rocks, to earth, to dirt. Sharei afar anachnu. Because after all, man comes from the dirt and will return to the dirt. So man has a shaychus to the dirt. Kirvel etzomeach. Man has a relationship with plants, with trees, with grass. Why? Kigam banu po kawachatzmicha. Because just like these things are defined by their growth, the category of tzomeach, things that grow, so too, ki adam etzasada, man also grows. Man is like a tree. Kivaseinu labali chayim boletes od yoser. Our relationship with animals is that much more identifiable. Animals have eyes. Animals have legs. Of course, it's a little bit different than ours. But already we're starting to see a great similarity, even in the physical structure of an animal and a human being. And certainly, says Ravolbi, I don't need to say to you, right, that you have a lot more in common with a Buddhist monk than you do with a kangaroo. Yeah, what do you mean? He thinks so differently than me. But the bottom line is, says Ravolbi, we're all children of Hashem in some way. Again, we have to understand, Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. As far as we ask the following question, Rav Chanan Wasserman asked this question, others ask it also. That's the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. Where else does Hashem refer to us as His children? In Mitzrayim, Paro, don't mess with Bnei Yisrael. You know why? Because Bnei Bechori Yisrael. Israel is my firstborn son. So it's implied that we're the firstborn, but there are other children. The pasuk in Parshas Re'eh emphasizes Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. We're exclusively the children of Hashem, and everyone else in the world only has a master and a servant relationship, a melech and an eved relationship. Right? Hashem is a Moshe Bagayim. Hashem rules over the Gayim. He doesn't have the father-son relationship. But the pasuk in Shemot says Bnei Bechori Yisrael, that we're the firstborn, mashma, that the Umas Olam are the younger children. So that's the question that some ask. But basically what Rav Volbi is saying here is that, yes, there's a truth to that. That every human being is created B'Tzalem Elokim. And even though Rabbi Akiva says, how fortunate are you Jewish people that you were created as Banim, which is a higher level, but there's an akuda of Banim, even by the Umas Ha'olam. And therefore Rav Volbi says, I don't need to explain to you that people from other nations are our relatives, maybe distant relatives. Obviously in Halacha, there's a greater responsibility that we have to our fellow Jews. And that's not, you know, that's not racist or strange. The same way that if there was a random person who came to me who needed money, and my own brother who needed money to buy food, I would give it to my brother. And no one would say I'm crazy for favoring my brother. So it's not crazy that the Halacha favors the Jewish people, that we have to provide for our relatives, our immediate relatives, before we provide for the whole world. But at the same time, since we're involved, we have an achrayus to the world. And we're connected to the world, and we're one big family. Ha'umos ha'atiko sanu esager. Haba meret v'choka. The ancient world, the ancient nations, they hated people who came from other countries, other people, right? Much the way that militant Islam today will say, convert to Islam or else. We can't be sovel anyone other than our own. So someone who came from a faraway land was despised, vitiru lemisa, and they would allow the person to be executed. He's not one of ours. Yeah? He has a different skin color. So he's totally different. He thinks differently, so he's totally different. Shachein lo yadu ki av echad l'kulanu. But they didn't realize, says Rav Volbi, what we, the Jewish people, realize. Wild peace, no? So is this like normally how we think? You're walking down the street in Washington Heights and you pass some, you know, some random person. Not so random. They're very much connected to you. He says, we, Klal Yisrael, realize that we all have one father. Avraham, Av Hamon Goyim. Loved everyone. Again, of course, Rav Volbi's not disagreeing with the fact that we have a greater achrayus to our fellow Jews. And Avas Yisrael, of course, is greater than Avas Umas Ha'olam. But Rav Volbi's saying, and again, it's a major, I think, yesod for tshuva, is that to be a from Jew who serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't have to be so from that you hate everything else. It's Hashem's world, it's Hashem's people. Maybe we have more Ashkacha Pratis, but Hashem watches over them also. And Hashem cares about that little ant, you know, crawling on the pavement. About Klal Yisrael Yodea Ki Ein Zarim Ba'olam. Klal Yisrael understand where it's underlined, that there's nothing that is Zar, there's nothing that is foreign, there's nothing that is strange, there's nothing that's an outsider to the world. And therefore the Torah goes out of its way, time and time and time again, more than the Torah emphasizes Shabbos, which the Chavetz Chaim says 12 times the Torah puts emphasis on Shabbos to show you how much Hashem cares about it. There's Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim that says anytime the Torah repeats something, it's for emphasis. So Shabbos is mentioned 12 times. You can imagine how important Shabbos is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But loving the ger is something that's even more emphasized in Torah and in Halacha. Because it's that much easier for us to say, nah, he's not one of ours, we don't care about him. So there's nothing zar, there's nothing that's strange in the world. I want to just mention one of my favorite Shem Yishmuels. I wasn't going to mention it, but it popped in my head, so I'm going to mention it now. The Shem Yishmuel says in next week's Parsha, on the words, Zechor Yemos Olam, understand, you should know Yemos Olam, you should know Yemot Olam, history of the world. Binu Shnos Dor V'Dor, you should have a deep understanding of the various generations of time. Yatzev Gevulos Amim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu established the gvulot, the gvulos, the borders of the nations, lemispar b'nei Yisrael, in accordance with the number of the Jewish people. The Shem Yishmuel says, originally there were 70 Jews. The 70 members of Yaakov's family went down to Mitzrayim. How many nations are there? How many nations? We talk about the 70 nations of the world. Right? Atwai in the Lamnatzeach, right before Valatzion, there are 70 words corresponding to the 70 nations. 70 nations are primarily divided, the Vilna Gaon talks about, divided between Esav and Yishmael, 35 under each. 70 is the number of nations in the world. There were 70 Jews and there were 70 essential nations at the beginning of time. Of course, as time went on, nowadays there's probably about, 15 million Jews in the world? Is that the right number? About 15 million Jews in the world. Right? So that means there's many more nations or many more subdivisions of those nations. Says the Pasuk, Zichor Yemos Olam, you should know how world history works. Binu Shnos Tor V'Dor, understand deeply the various generations of time. Know that once upon a time there were 70 Jews who made up the essential Klal Yisrael, and there were 70 nations. And now there are 15 million Jews, and there are 7.5 billion people on planet Earth. You should realize that Yatzev Gevulos Amim, that the borders of the nations are K'mispar B'nei Yisrael, in accordance with the number of the Jewish people. And then the Shem Yishmuel goes on and says an amazing thing. Shem Yishmuel says, there are 15 million Jews and there are 7.5 billion people. That means each one of us is assigned to a group of non-Jews. Some of us may have more, some of us may have less. But as Jews, we believe that we have an achrayus to the world. It's not with a sense of haughtiness, right? And we consider ourselves the chosen nation. As Rav Chatzchel Besser once said, he said we were chosen to receive the Torah, we also were chosen to be murdered in the Holocaust. So being chosen is not, it's not always bragging rights. The Jewish people were chosen to be leaders for the world. And we have a chrayus to the world. So the Shem Yishmuel, and now I'm paraphrasing obviously, says the following. You get up one morning, you go to davening. Yeah, you're a little tired. And the Chazan sang Kaddish. And you have a chance to say, Amen, Yehi Shmei Rabba, B'chol Kochel, like the Gemara says in Mishnah, Sech HaShabbos, Daf Kofir Ches. If you say Amen, Yehi Shmei Rabba with all your strength, unbelievable things happen. If you have a chance to say Amen, Yehi Shmei Rabba, you're feeling tired. And you don't say it with full strength. Yeah? You missed an opportunity to do something holy. So it could be, I'll make it mamish karen, it could be that there's a Gentile, a man and his wife, a son and his daughter and his dog, and he used to have a white picket fence, right? But now his white picket fence got flooded away. This guy lives in Houston. And it could be that somehow, in some deep crazy way that you'll never know, that this fellow from Houston, very nice person, yeah? Call him Bob. Yeah, Bob and his wife, Margie in Houston. Right? Somehow, in some crazy way, they're connected to the shoresh of your neshama. And therefore, the things that you do affect them. So it could be that Bob's ability to rebuild his life after Hurricane Harvey is dependent upon your Armenian Shmei Rabba. I know it sounds crazy. It could be, yeah? It could be in some third world country where the streets are overrun by gang warfare. It could be some little dark-skinned child is somehow connected to you, and he's going to walk out in the street today, and whether you choose to speak Lashon Hara or not might determine whether he gets hit by a stray bullet as some gangs are battling it out in the streets. That's a crazy achrayus. But that's what the Shem Yishmuel says in Parshas Hazino. That's what the Pasuk is saying. Yatzev Gevulos Amim, the borders, the boundaries of the lives of the nations of the world are K'mispar B'nei Yisrael, are in accordance with our numbers. And every one of us has achrayus. A lot of people. There are people on planet Earth. There's someone on his way to a job interview today who's going to get the job or not get the job, maybe based on whether you stay awake during this year or not. Right? Again, that's a huge achrayus, but it's also something that we should feel very proud of. And that's what we'll be saying here. There's a lot of people in the world, there's a lot of things in the world, and they're not far into Hashem. They may not know about Hashem like we know about Hashem. That's what we learned yesterday. The simcha that a Jew has, knowing that I'm in the know. But everything in the world is connected. We're one big family. Says Rav Volbi in the second paragraph. Yoser mizeh mushesses kol avodas am Yisrael al iskarvus ben abriya labora. The Jewish people are the center point, the focal point, right? We're the point upon which all of the relationship between Creator and created revolves. Everything, the relationship between everything in the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent upon us. We guide a tree to have a relationship with God. We guide a slice of pizza to have a relationship with God. Right? We guide a person who lives in a country without electricity and running water to believe that there's a creator in the world. That's dependent upon us. We make those connections. The Gemara in Menachos says, Yavo Yedid ben Yedid, V'yivne Yedid, L'yedid, V'yichalko shel Yedid, V'yiskapru bo Yedidim. It's a beautiful Gemara. When our son Yaakov Yedidya was born at his bris, I quoted this Gemara. One of the reasons we named him Yedidya is because of this Gemara. It's a beautiful Gemara. Listen to this Gemara. Yavo Yedid, says the Gemara, Zeshlomo Amelech. Shenemar v'yishlach b'yad nasan hanavi v'yikra shemo Yedidya. Ben Yedid, Shlomo is the descendant of Yedid, Zeh Avraham. As it says in Yirmiyah about Avraham, Meh liyedidi b'vesi. It's a reference to Avraham Avinu. V'yivne Yedid, Shlomo, the son, the descendant of Avraham, should build the base of Mikdash, which is called Yedid. As it says, Ma Yedidos Mishkenosecha. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Li Yedid, you should build the base of Mikdash for who? For Yedid. Who's Yedid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yachsev Ashira Na Liyedidi. B'chelko Shel Yedid, you should build the base of Mikdash in the portion of Yedid. Who's Yedid? Binyamin. The Binyamin Amar, Binyamin Yedid Hashem. V'yiskapru bo Yedidim. That you bring kapara for the Yedidim. Who's that? That's Klal Yisrael. As it says in Yirmiyah, Nasati es Yedidus Nafshi Bekaf Oiveha. So Shlomo is called Yedid, Avram is called Yedid, the Beis Hamikdash is called Yedid, Hashem is called Yedid, the Klal Yisrael is called Yedid. Amazing. Binyamin is called Yedid. Mispar Mizeh, says Revolvi, where it's underlined, Ki HaKlal Yisrael Hu Olam Shel Yedidus. Everything that matters to us, Shlomo, Avram, Binyamin, Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all Yedid. Everything in the world of a Jew is Yedidus. Yedidus is a hard word to translate. How would you translate Yedidus? Belovedness, pleasantness. There's a certain sweetness. The word itself has like a nice sound to it even. But it's a sweet word. So Klal Yisrael is a world of Yedidus, based on Mikdash, Makom Avodaseinu, the place of the Avoda. Ein bo af shemetz shel richuk v'zaris. The base of Mikdash is what? Ki beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. The base of Mikdash is not only for Klal Yisrael. Of course it's primarily for Klal Yisrael, we get that. Revolvi's not arguing on that. Okay? He's not as modern as he sounds. Yeah? But Revolvi's saying, what this great tzaddik, this great mashgiach is telling us, is that the base of Mikdash is also about the world. It's not just about Klal Yisrael. The Shiach's about the world. Hashem is about the world. Klal Yisrael's about the world. Avraham Avinu is Av Hamon Gayim. He's about the world. There's nothing that's foreign, and there's nothing that's detached from that reality. And to get to the base of Mikdash, we need to have a spirit of Yedidus. And the whole point of the base of Mikdash, just like Klal Yisrael serve as that focal point to bring together Creator and created, so too the base of Mikdash is the meeting place of Creator and created. Next paragraph. If this is the blueprint of the whole world, which means, when a Jew doesn't like another Jew, because of the way they dress, the way they think, right? It could be a person you have a ton in common with, but all you focus on is the fact that he does something a little different. So what you're doing is not only are you rebelling against your mission towards the world, right, but you're undermining the entire creation. You're not just failing in the mission, you're destroying the whole world. Because the purpose of the world is Yedidus. And we have to have that Yedidus to a gorilla in the jungle. So Allah has come v'kama, we have to have that to our fellow Jew. And then he brings an amazing yesod from Ibn Ezra. Maybe Avram ben Ezra Kosov. Kimilas achzar. How do you translate the word achzar? What does it mean to be an achzar? Achzari. Achzarius. What does it mean? Cruelty. Says the Ibn Ezra, you know what achzar means? Perusha. Achzar is kizar. Kizar means what? That which is foreign. Sukkis, call it Ezrach b'Yisrael. Everyone's an Ezrach. Everyone's a citizen. A czar is a person who's a foreigner. Achzar, you know what the cruelest thing you could do in the world is? You could say that I'm the center of reality and everything else is czar. Everything else is outside. Everything else is foreign. Haynu shashorash achzar yisu, the root of all cruelty, is sha'odam is yachiz el chavero kizar. You look at another person and you say, that's not my type of guy. Right? Or you look at a Rebbe and say, oh, that's not my type of Rebbe. Okay, so he's a different style of teaching. You should love him to death. You don't want to be in his shir? Fine, don't be in his shir. You see a person in the street, they have a different religion than you. Right? Oh, that's not my type of person. Okay, I'm not asking you to sit in and have theological discussions with them. But Hashem created them. They're a human being. And it's cruel for you to label them as being completely mibachutz. Minayin lanu kalach zeh ba'olam shekula omri yedidus. Says Revolbi, Zesod Yetzirhara. This whole commitment to Yedidus, or this desire to label everything as being Mibachutz, is the work of the Yetzirhara. And Revolbi says, I'll prove it to you in a very simple way. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Ezehu El Zar Sheish Begufo Shadam, who is the foreign God that dwells within the body of man? Says the Gemara, Aveomer Zeh Yetzirhara. The Yetzirah makes himself into what? Into a foreign god, an El-Zar. A false deity. But if you remember, like I told you yesterday, the Chafetz Chaim said, the Sefer Mashmiya Shalom said, that the Yetzirah is called a Ksil because that's his profession. He fools people. He's not a fool, he fools others. So when the Yetzirah is called an El-Zar, it's not only that he is a foreign god, right? But his avoda is Zar. His avoda is labeling everything as Zar. The Yetzirah destroys Hashem's world and moves us farther and farther away from Bayomahu Yah Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad by saying, no, everything is divided, everything is separated. These things have nothing to do with each other. Labeling everything as Zar. Vinirakizoi Agdarasso Shal Yetzirah Shuel Zar Dafka. And this is the way that we define the Yetzirah as an El Zar. Klomar, where it's underlined, Koacha Hofech as Kola Metzios Miuchedes Betiva Lemoka Shal Zaris Verichuk. The Yetzirah takes a world which is so naturally connected, which has such a natural oneness to it, and the Yetzirah turns it into what? Into a big ball of separation. A world which is so nice. The Yetzirah that Hashem made so beautifully. But Yetzirah comes and he tangles the whole thing up. You know? Like when you put your headphones in your pocket and like you put them in neatly and then they come out like all like jumbled up and you're wondering, like, how'd that happen? You know? How did they get like so naughty, right? So Hashem says, I made my world straight. I made my world yashar. I made Adam yashar. So the pasuk says, Behem bikshu cheshbonos rabim. And we corrupted the world. We made the world crazy. Hashem made the world straight. The world is supposed to be pashut. Yedidus. It's supposed to be sweet and pleasant for everyone. And the Yetzirah is an El Zar. He comes and he ties everything into knots and convinces you that nothing has to do with anything else. And this is, again, the battlefield of the whole universe. It says Revolbi in the bottom line of the page, Zelu mazeh asah ha'elokim. Pasuk in the 7th parak of Koheles. This one opposite that one, Hashem has created. Newton's law, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. So Keneged, the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem, and Klal Yisrael, and Shlomo Melech, and Binyamin, and Avram Avinu, which are all called Yedid, we are the Olam HaYedidus. The Yetzirah is a world of Zarus. The Yetzirah is a world of Pirud, separation, Rechuk, distancing. The Yetzirah tries to move everything away from its Shorash. Okay, turn to the side, two of the page. Yeah.
Hashem created the world in like a straight manner. Why did you want to keep it that way? Then why would you like create the Yetzirah in the first place?
Right, good question. The Gemara actually says that one of the things that Hashem regrets creating is the Yetzirah. And that's a very deep Gemara. Hashem regrets. Sure, Hashem regrets. It says at the beginning of the Torah. Hashem regretted that he created man. Okay, so now I have a question on the pasuk and a question on the Gemara. What does it mean that God regrets? But the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's things that Hashem regrets. It's in Sukkah. There are things that Hashem regrets. And one of the things that Hashem regrets is the Yetzirah. You know what else Hashem regrets? Yishmael, it says. Maven Yavin. If you've ever turned on the news in the last 10 years, yeah.
The Gemara also says that like, when
okay, good question. Good question. Oh, you need the Yetzirah to guide the universe. Yetzirah allows us to do mitzvahs, to take that same energy that can get us into trouble. Okay. Good question. Yeah.
Why is the Yetzirah spoken about so negative? Why do you check the Yetzirah?
Right. So on the one hand, there's that image, but on the other hand, I told you, remember the other week, I told you that the Yetzirah is really a good guy in disguise. He's a malach. When Yaakov defeats him, he's happy, and he goes and sings Shira. So, yes, on the one hand, the Yetzirah is our enemy. On the one hand, the Yetzirah has to be killed and destroyed. On the other hand, the Yetzirah helps us in different ways. So, it's a good question. Okay? But certainly, there is such a notion of the Yetzirah that hails Zari. And the way that he destroys the world is by trying to pull apart everything from the oneness of the universe. Okay? Take a look at the next big paragraph on page Dalet. The Rambam in Hilchos Taanios, this is the Rambam you have to think about on every public fast day, every Taanis Sibur. Rambam says, when a flood comes to the world and destroys people's homes and lives, yeah? When, God forbid, there's some type of natural disaster, the Rambam says, God forbid, to not respond to it. If you don't cry out, if you don't scream, if you just say, this is the way of the world, this is how things go, I can explain to you naturally why these things, you know, why these things happen. Right? This is what happens. It's always a nikra nikris. It's mikra. What does mikra mean? Nikra nikris, mikra, happenstance. Just happened to be. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Harezo derech achzarius. If you say, I don't give a darn about some Gentile whose house got swept away in the Bahamas, then you're not an authentic Jew, says Revolvi. Because if you're living in the Olam HaYedidus, that bothers you. That a human being who maybe I'm responsible for, and if I'm not responsible for, then my neighbor is, that our neshamas are somehow deeply linked, that bothers me. And if I don't cry, if I don't give money to support, if I don't, you know, travel to these places to try to help out, if I don't daven for people to be safe, even though, again, on the surface, they're completely different culturally, religiously, everythingly, yeah? So the Rambam says that's cruelty. If something bad happens and you say, whatever, you know, things happen, that's cruel. The Rambam says that's cruel. But according to the Ibn Ezra, we said that cruel, achzar, means kizar. It's not that I really believe that nothing is, you know, that it's not divinely ordained. I know Hashem did it, but I just want to deal with it. So I just say, it just happened, you know. Not my problem. Because it's not my friend, it's not someone I know. So says Rav Volbi, we have to try to overcome that achzarius, that cruelty that makes us not care. Go to the next paragraph. Zeu ikar gadol b'torah. Rav Volbi says this is a major principle of Torah. L'rachik es achzarios, hayoles zos mekarav libeinu. To uproot this spirit of cruelty that tries to take root in the depths of our heart. Torah melamedes lo lavuz l'chol adam. V'lo lahaflig l'chol davar. Anyone recognize those phrases? Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Yeah? Not to be scornful of any person, and not lahaflig, not to reject, or to look, you know, talag, pei lamed gimel, always means to separate. Yeah? To divide. Not to separate yourself from anything. Again, that doesn't mean you need to own every item in the world. That doesn't mean you have to be deeply involved. There are things in the world that, of course, are bad for our souls, on a superficial level. But on a deep level, what we'll be saying is we're connected to everything. And everything has a purpose. Even sinful things, even people who are very different and believe things which are anti-Torah, right? But they're still here for a reason. Hashem put them in the world for a reason. The Machayev is born this Vesima Slave al Kol Tzad. This requires much thought and meditation upon with every step that you take. It's a big machlokas. According to one opinion, treating an animal cruelly is an Isser Daraisa. Discussion in the Gemara above Metzia. At the very least, being cruel to an animal is derabanan. You know, the kid who steps on a spider when he sees it on the ground because he thinks that's fun is a child. He doesn't have any understanding of things. He doesn't understand that spider is necessary for the Bria. It's part of Hashem's world. So you have to have respect for animals. Torah says have respect for animals. What about plants? Baltashas. Parsha Shoftim. Don't chop down fruit-bearing trees. Why would you waste a tree? You're going out to war. Is a tree a person? You have to fight against your enemies. I understand. Why do I have to destroy my world? Hashem says. Hakol misora yedidus va'achdus hashareres v'olamu ha'kadosh ha'kadosh baruch hu. All of this is rooted in the secret of the oneness that again is found within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Says Rav Volbi in the next paragraph. Hamekubalim omrim ki ha'kedusha hi ha'shmira al'achdus ha'briya v'tumah hi sod ha'pirud. What's the difference between holiness and impurity? Says Rav Volbi, the Mekubalim teach us that holy things are in a state of achdus. And Tumah is the secret of separation, of detachment. And therefore, says Rav Volbi, we have to try to attach ourselves again to that world of oneness. Even though the Mekubalim obviously explain this concept in a very deep way, and that Achdus equals Kedusha, and Pirud, separation, equals Tuma, says Rav Volbi, we can understand it on a superficial level. The whole world is founded upon pleasantness, belovedness, yeah, kirva, closeness. And it's the Sahara's way to again get involved and cause separation between things which are naturally attached. With this, we can recognize within ourselves, within our own life experience. That any expression of zarus is tumah, is negative, is destructive. Richuk bein chaverim. Richuk bein chaverim, it's a destructive thing. Right? And two friends are in a fight. Their worlds are falling apart sometimes because of that. Leitzanis. Leitzanis means that someone shares an idea. Yeah? The way the Gemara says, a person can give a whole shir. And now the person is connected to the person who gave the shir, connected to the ideas of the shir. And then some wise guy cracks a joke, and all of a sudden everything's forgotten. So we just tore apart the relationship that was built over the course of that year between the Rebbe and the Talmud, between the Talmud and the ideas that the Rebbe's sharing. And one wisecrack, one late son, it's one a malik dika moment, because a malik is called a late, all of a sudden, everything is ruined. The whole world is destroyed. Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is just a couple of words. No, it's not. It undermines the very glue of the universe. Right? El bonos. Right? Disgrace. Shameful things. Yeah, these are all part of the Yetzer Hara's way of destroying the world. Misod ha'el zarhim. Koshi ha'tfila. When a Jew doesn't feel connected to davening. When he's choser ha'cheshek b'limud v'kiyam ha'mitzvos. When you're bored by Mesach ha'sukkah. Yeah? Or you're bored by putting on your tefillin. Misod shal'el zarhim. That's all the Yetzer Hara's tricks to make you feel like, sukkah, that's not for me. Tefillin, that's not my thing. Not deeply connected to it. I have to do it, so I put it on, but I wear it outside myself, as opposed to attaching it to my mind and to my heart. I wear it as a box on my arm. And how great, again, is this koach of tumah? It makes us sometimes foreign to ourselves. We become foreign to Hashem. By the way, you know how the Kotzker learns that Gemara? How does the Halakha Kotzker learn this Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Hei Amud Beis? On the first side of the page, Ezu el zar sheish begufo shel adam haveyom erzav yetzahara. So the Kotzker says, right, that the el zar begufo means that sometimes a person makes el zar. Someone makes Hashem zar, the thing that you're most deeply connected to. That every breath you take and every second of your existence is completely dependent upon Hashem. You start to think that Hashem is Zar. You make Hashem Zar. Hashem's nah, Hashem's not my thing. You are Hashem. What are you talking about? Your neshama is a piece of Hashem. What are you like? You mamish are one with Hashem. And the Yitzhar can trick you to the point that what? That a Kodesh Baruch Hu becomes Zar. That Hashem is El Zar, Bekir Bechem. That Hashem becomes a foreigner inside of us. Even though he's living inside of us, you say, oh, like, you know, where did this guy come from that he's staying by me? Staying by you? What do you mean? Hashem living in your heart is the essence of your being. It's not some outsider. It's not some random person who's sleeping on your couch. It's the essence of your life. So the Yetzer Hara works very hard to convince us that everything in the world, right, is Zar and Rachuk, and it's not for me. And creates, again, the antithesis of Kedusha, which is the antithesis of Achdus. Okay? Rav Volbi concludes the piece, two lines from the bottom. There's really a few more lines at the top of the next page, but I'll just tell it to you outside. He says, Ve'el zar ze adayin en enema dreiga achrona berichuk. Ve'el zar, the Yitzhahara, is not the final step of distance that can be created. Because the Pasuk says, Los ishtachave ve'el nechar. The Yitzhahara is very bad. Yeah? But you know what's worse? It's R means I still believe in Hashem, but I'm starting to be disconnected from things in Hashem's world. Whether, again, it's a cow in the field, or it's my tefillin, which are made, by the way, from the cow in the field. Yeah? So there's something even worse than believing in God and the Yitzhahara convincing you that everything is, no, that's not for me, that's not for me, that's not for me. That also undermines my relationship with Hashem. But you know what's worse? Like I said a moment ago, when I start to think that Hashem is Zar, and I take on a new religion, and I take on new ideas, and I start to worship an El Nechar, I bow down to false idols. The final step of the Yitzhahara is to get you to what? To feel that Hashem is Nechar. Hashem is a stranger. Hashem is an outsider. Hashem is an El Zar. He's a foreign God. I don't have anything to do with him. And that's why, says Rav Volpe, and you don't have it on the page in front of you, it's at the top of the next page, but Rav Volpe says, what do we call the ultimate sin? Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. You ever think about the words? What does that mean, Avodah Zarah? It really means foreign worship. Worshipping something other than Hashem. But you know what it also means? It means that you worship the idea that everything is foreign. Buy into the idea, right, that everything, there's no Seder to the Bria. And the pieces aren't connected. That's all, the worship of Zara, of Zaris. And that's Achzarius, that's cruelty. That's the opposite of the world that Hashem created, which is an Olam Chesed Ibaneh. To be Achzar means to pull things apart. Chesed is Ava, is to bring things together. I want to end by reading to you a piece from Rabbi Nachman and a piece from a non-Jewish source. If there's any day to read a piece from a non-Jewish source, it's today, based on what we just learned. Okay? So which one should we do first? I think we should probably... It's a good shaila, right? Meaning, should we first learn Rabbi Nachman? Because of course you learn Torah before you learn someone else, even though he's not Tzar, he's part of Hashem's world. But then we end the shir on a... You know, a non-Jewish theologian. That's not a... We should end on Rabbi Nachman. What do you think? What's the right way? Which one? Okay, so here's Rabbi Nachman. There's a piece in Likutei Moharan also where Rabbi Nachman talks about davening for the world, taking achrayas for the world. Right, but I want to read you a piece in the Sichos Haran, Os Lamed Ches. And it's such an important and healthy piece. Again, people, and I don't like calling people out on things, but I sometimes feel that there are certain rebbeim and certain yeshivas in America and in Eretz Yisrael and in the world, right, who try to get people to be from by like just hating everything. Hating the parents who gave birth to them. Hating the rabbi of their community for being so modern. Yeah? Hating everything that they enjoyed when they were younger because it's treif. Right? There has to be a balanced way to live in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world and to make sense of the fact that we're mat, we call a gayim. There's a lot more other than us. So we need to be aware of that fact. Rabbi Nachman says, listen, Sichos Haran Lamed Ches. Shatu b'shamayim piyem u'lishonam tahalech ba'aretz. They place in the heavens their mouths u'lishonam tahalech ba'aretz, tihalech ba'aretz, and their tongue walks the earth. It's a pasuk in Tehillim Ayin Gimel. There are people who, again, who place their mouths on high and their tongues walk the earth. Says Rabbi Nachman. Anyone want to try to guess what he's going to say? They place their mouth on high but their tongues walk the earth. I mean, sometimes I reject God by hating the world, and sometimes I do the opposite, right? I reject the world by hating God. Listen to what he says. Ki achshav nispashit apikorsis, shuot yoritzua ledibar sara alkoa tzadikim. Rabbi Nachman says, we've gotten to a point where people think they can say whatever they want. Rabbi Nachman wrote this way before Facebook and Twitter and blog posts. Rabbi Nachman says the time has come where anyone could slander any of the tzaddikim, write an article in the newspaper, say whatever you want about whoever you want, about kol yarei Hashem, to speak bad about God-fearing people. U'kamo mishaposhet l'shono neged kol ha'olam. Like a person who speaks against the whole universe. She'eno mashgiach al kol ha'olam. U've'em ez ha'apikorsis hu neged Hashem yisbarach ba'atzmo. But if you hate Hashem's world, if you say the world is a terrible place, then you're saying the terrible creator is a terrible creator. Yeah? And if you say it's Tzaddik, the leader of the Jewish people, is bad, well then you're saying that the one who chose the Jewish people, right, made a bad choice. Because their leaders are no good. But sometimes people are scared to speak openly against God, so they disguise their hatred for God by hating the world, knowing that what they're really saying is that I hate God, and they say instead to speak badly about the world. So says Rabbi Nachman, that's the pshat in this pasuk in Tehillim Ayin Gimel. Pasuk Tehillim Ayin Gimel, pasuk Tes. Shatu b'shamayim pihem. They placed their mouths in the heaven. They really want to split. They really want to blaspheme God. They really hate Hashem. Shebeemes mashem edabrim b'pihem. Hu beemes lamala b'shamayim. What they really want to say is the Creator stinks. He's terrible. He doesn't know what he's doing. He made a bad world. Ki ikur divrayim neged Hashem yisbach kivyachol. They want to speak against Hashem, but they're too scared to do it. It says the end of the pasuk, "Ulishonam tialach ba'aretz," but their tongues, you know, walk the earth by slandering the earth. What they're really doing is slandering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Nachman says it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to hate the world. We have to take achrayus for the world. What he writes in Likutei Moharan. The pasuk is in Tehillim Ayin Gimel, pasuk Tes. So I want to end with a. What did you say? Pasuk says, "Here, take a look." Okay, this is from a book written by a non-Jewish theologian. His name is Thomas Merton. He's no longer alive. The book is called "New Seeds of Contemplation." It's going to sound very Christian because it is, but if you just replace the word priest with tzaddik, yeah, and you replace Thomas Merton with Rabbi Nachman, obviously lahavdil on some level. But as we're learning today, on some level, no. On some level, it's all one. In a very careful way, I'm saying that. He has a piece in his book that's called "Everything That is Holy." That's the title of the piece, chapter 4. Everything that is, if it exists, everything that is holy. If God made it, you need to deal with it. You can't just hate it and say Hashem doesn't know what he's doing. It's not Hefker. Hashem runs the world. So listen to what he says. It's mamish, the same yisod as Revolvi. But you'll see it, it's very strong the way he says it. Detachment from things does not mean setting up a contradiction between things and God, as if God were another thing, and as if his creatures were his rivals. We do not detach ourselves from things in order to attach ourselves to God. You don't have to detach yourself from Hashem's world to be connected to Hashem. Hashem's world is filled with Elokus. But rather we become detached from ourselves in order to see and use all things in and for God. This is an entirely new perspective which many sincerely moral and ascetic minds fail utterly to see. There is no evil in anything created by Hashem. I'm going to say Hashem instead of God, okay? He writes God. There is no evil in anything created by Hashem, nor can anything of His become an obstacle to our union with Him. Right? How could it be that something in the world... Yes, of course, on a superficial level, there are things that cause us to stumble in this world. And of course, there are things that are supposed to be avoided in this world. And of course, there are people who we feel are very foreign to us in this world. But Revolvi is giving us a Mashiach perspective, which is what? That bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Perfect oneness. That's what we're longing for. So he says, so what gets in the way? You know why we do this? You know why sometimes... And again, I feel badly speaking about it, but I think it's important to say it. And sometimes, unfortunately, there are Rebbeim who I think have a very unhealthy attitude to this. We'll try to convince people that, you know, you have to abandon everything, every trace of the first 18 years of your life if you want to ever make it. Yeah, as if it was all, you know, completely busy of it, everything that you stumbled into up to this point. He says, the obstacle is ourself. That is to say, in the tenacious need to maintain our separate external egotistic will. Meaning what? In order for us to feel good about ourselves, instead of working on ourselves, you know what's much easier to do? Put everything else down, and then I'm very high. I can try to lift myself up, or I can just push everyone down, and then I'm automatically taller than everyone. I'm higher than everyone. It is when we refer all things to this outward and false self that we alienate ourselves from reality and from God. It is then the false self that is our God. That's Mamash the Gemara. The ails are in a person's heart. You become the false god. We call it the Yetzirah. You're the false god. Your ego, your desire to be better than others, instead of realizing that Hashem created that other just like He created you. And we love everything for the sake of the self, right? We only love the things that help me to enhance my essential, myself, my Avodah Zarah. We use all things, so to speak, for the worship of this idol, which is our imaginary self. strong, no? It's strong lishonos. Listen carefully. In so doing, we pervert and corrupt things. Or rather, we turn our relationship to them into a corrupt and sinful relationship. We do not thereby make them evil, but we use them to increase our attachment to our illusory self. Listen to this next paragraph. Those who try to escape from the situation by treating the good things of God as if they were evils are only confirming themselves in a terrible illusion. If you hate Hashem's world, right, then you're the Yetzer. You're the biggest Yetzer in the world. It's you versus God. Hashem's not Hashem's world versus God. You don't know how to make sense of it, so you decide, oh, I'm going to choose God by hating everything else. They're like Adam blaming Chava, and Chava blaming the Nachash in Gan Eden. Woman has tempted me. Wine has tempted me. Food has tempted me. Woman is pernicious. Wine is poison. Food is death. I must hate and revile them. By hating them, I will please God. And listen to this next line. Here's the key line. Ready for this? You know what he says about a person who says this? You know? Girls are the Yetzer Hara. Food is the Yetzer Hara. Hashem's world is the Yetzer Hara. You know what, Hashem? Maybe you're the Yetzer Hara. Right? Until a person snaps out of it and says, well, maybe I'm the Yitzhar. Maybe I'm the Avodah Zara. Maybe my whole Avodah is Zara, to label everything as Zar. He says, a person who looks at the world like that, woman has tempted me, wine has tempted me, food has tempted me, Adam blames Chava, Chava blames Nachash, everyone's pointing fingers. These are the thoughts and attitudes of a baby, of a savage, and of an idolater, who seeks by magic incantations and spells to protect his egotistic self and placate the insatiable little god in his own heart. Strong, no? To take such an idol for God is the worst kind of self-deception. It turns a man into a fanatic, as Rabbi Nachman talks about elsewhere. I think it's Nun Aleph in Sichos Aran, about the danger of extremism. Rabbi Nachman says, when I was younger, I was very into chumras. And as I got older, I realized halavai, I should just live a life of pshitus within the framework of halacha. But it turns a man into a fanatic, no longer capable of sustained contact with the truth, no longer capable of genuine love. In trying to believe in their ego as something holy, these fanatics look upon everything else as unholy. Obviously there's more, but I'm going to stop here. So I mean, it's Hashem. I think it's such a big yesod in tshuva. Besides, it's the perspective you have to live with every day of the calendar year. But a person comes to Rosh Hashanah and he starts to think, I got to get rid of everything. Right? My parents are dragging me down, my community is dragging me down, my friends are dragging me down, the world is dragging me down. But if a person has a mature perspective, and he doesn't have the thoughts and attitudes of a baby or a savage or an idolater, as Thomas Merton writes here, right? And a person realizes that every time I slander the world, like Rabbi Nachman says, I'm slandering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then I start to say, you know what, maybe the problem is me. Maybe I have this very inflated ego that I'm trying to placate by putting everything else down. And maybe if I realize that I'm from the Olam HaYedidus, the world of Shlomo HaMelech, of Avraham Avinu, of the Beis HaMikdash, of Binyamin, of Klal Yisrael, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'll create Ahava, and I'll create Kirva, and I'll create the antithesis of Tuma, which is the Kedusha that comes from the Achdus HaMelech. Okay? Shabbat Shalom to live with this Torah.